The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is Monday, April 22nd. 2024. Glad you are here. Ordinarily, a Monday show is filled with all kinds of things in the news, and boy, today is absolutely no exception. We have the Trump hush money trial starting today. Jury has been impaneled, and opening arguments will roll out today. Over the weekend, we had the House, led by Speaker Mike Johnson, orchestrating separate votes on aid for Israel and Ukraine and Taiwan, but then it all gets balled together and sent to the Senate for a simple up or down, meaning that if you support aid for Israel but not Ukraine, you got a choice to make. You got to, well, either just lump all of it together and vote yes for it because you support aid for Israel, or lump it all together and vote it down because you think we've funneled enough money to Ukraine, and it has Speaker Johnson in trouble. He deserves this trouble to some degree. Does he deserve to be ousted? I just bang my head against a wall on things like this. I don't want another burst of House chaos. I don't want another speaker battle. Who exactly do we have in the wings? Who's going to be better? But this is not binary. It's not a choice between he's the best speaker since Newt Gingrich and he's a duplicitous bum. Mike Johnson's a good guy, I think has it in him to be a good speaker. He has fallen prey to the go-along, to get-along, deal-making, compromise beast that has that has poisoned a lot of powerful Republicans over the years. Mike Johnson's critics are not wrong, and so we'll talk a little bit about that vote. The Texas runoffs, still forever from now, the end of next month, but each day ticks us on the calendar closer and closer to a decision time in a number of races and the completion of what was the message sent out on March 5th on the primary day. I guess I do know why these people keep coming on television to spew more venom and sour grapes. But bless his heart, out west of Fort Worth in the district where Mike Olcott beat Glenn Rogers, I guess TV stations keep calling Glenn Rogers to just come fuss and moan and wring his hands. And he did so, Lord did he, on Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley. And it's a masterclass in how not to lose with grace. So we have all of that. And let's see. Plenty plenty going on. And Mavericks got smoked at the Los Angeles Clippers last night. I don't feel good about this series all of a sudden. I know it's only one game. They scored 8 points in the second period. Voof. I think I'm stung. It's not necessarily apples and apples. I'm stung by the Cowboys did it to us all, the notion of regular season competence that then pivots into playoff non-readiness. And I hope that's not the case because I love Coach Jason Kidd. I obviously love Luka and Kyrie and the whole squad. I want to, last week I was like, oh, look what we might do. We might do, because nobody's ever done this. I think 9 times in history, a city has had its hockey team and its NBA team playing for a championship at the same time. A lot of it back through history, I think, has been like 76ers and Flyers in Philly, Celtics and Bruins in Boston. I think there have been, but it's never happened. Usually one of the teams fell short. So no metropolitan area has ever won. And the hockey and basketball playoffs run along at the same time. They all start like now and wrap up in June. So wouldn't that be something? But and the Stars, for their part, start their playoff run against the Vegas Golden Knights. I think puck drops at 8:30 tonight. So go you Stars. Stars won it all in 1999, went to the Stanley Cup following year against the New Jersey Devils, did not repeat. Been back to the Stanley Cup Finals, but have not won it since then. Of course, the Mavericks won it all in 2011. Who can forget that? So it'd be wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? So as we get ready to dive into a lot of the weekend's news and the things that we face as the week begins, let me share something with you that is decidedly great. And you folks have always been so very, very kind to me in keeping track of stuff and, you know, stuff going on in the family. And, you know, we talked about Lisa, Regina, Ethan, et cetera, et cetera. Today is big. I've always said that God had a sense of humor because he gave me a son with a birthday on Earth Day, the Earth Day birthday for Ethan. And, well, believe you me, we'll talk a little environmental extremism today as well, because people are using this Earth Day occasion to have you believe that your SUV is making the planet hotter and you shouldn't have I ain't having it. You shouldn't be having it either. So today's Ethan's birthday. I always point that out. Always point out every Regina birthday on September 28th and every one of Lisa's birthdays and mine and Rhonda's whole family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But today is a big one because our boy is 21. Ethan is 21 today. And that is just a mind blow of epic proportions. That means that 21 years ago this week, we went in, you know, late in a pregnancy, you go to the doctor visits, and I think the due date was a little later, it was the 20-something, you know, after the 22nd, but Lisa's blood pressure was up. And not like, you know, rush you to the hospital, oh my gosh, but it was like, why don't you guys just go ahead and come on in and let's go ahead and get you guys comfy there at Baylor Grapevine. And that was on the 21st of April, 2003. And we're just going to go ahead and get this show on the road on the 22nd. So that's what we did. And that evening, the 22nd, 8 pounds, 6 ounces, 21 inches, he's bigger now. Boy, is he. He's just about as tall as I am, and a wonderful, wonderful young man who makes our lives complete every day. And we've been marking a lot of time lately. A lot of things in history have arisen. Just a month ago, we celebrated 30 years of radio together, meaning Regina was 2 when I come rolling back to my native Texas, and when she's like 4 and 5 and 6, we're taping those things of her doing, it's the Mark Davis Show. And then over the years, as Ethan has grown and his voice has deepened, every final show of the year, he has come in and done the Christmas Story. And when we started doing that, he had the vocal timbre, you know, of a child, because I guess he would have been about 9 or 10 when he started doing that. And he kind of sounded like Linus, as he does in the doing the story of the birth of Christ from the book of Luke in Charlie Brown Christmas. But the point of it wasn't that he sounded like Linus. The point of it was that he was our boy, and that for my son to sit in that chair right there and read from scripture and share that story of the birth of Christ meant the world to me in this room and meant the world to his mom as we that would sit here and watch him with such pride. And we have watched him with pride every day as he has grown into a magnificent young man. So happy birthday, Ethan. We love you so very, very much. 7:15. While we are mindful of God, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. While I'm on a roll here, family baby news, speaking of kids and being born and stuff, a couple of weeks ago, told you about my, I have a new cousin. I guess he'd be a cousin twice removed because he's my cousin's grandson. And he is, speaking of blood pressure and having to get to the hospital pronto, my cousin BJ and her son Cameron and his wife Caitlin, they live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And they were just awaiting with great anticipation the birth of their baby. And they were rolling along at like 20 some weeks, you know, way too early, really, you know, and like blood pressure. And so they had to go trucking over up to Vanderbilt Hospital. And they said, look, we can't let you out. We cannot let you out. You're going to be in this hospital. They were in that hospital for better part of 2 months. Lived at the Vanderbilt Hospital. Lovely people, I'm sure. And yeah, they were lovely people, and they are lovely people, but had to be climbing the walls. But the payoff was worth it because Beckett Dean Levis was born a month ago, 3 pounds, 2 ounces, such a tiny person. But he was in neonatal ICU for a couple of weeks. He's still in the hospital. They'll be able to go home soon. He tipped the scales at 4 pounds over the weekend, and he just looks great and is doing great, and God is good every day. All right, enough family news. Let's hop to news around the world. Let me go ahead and take the pause, come back, and let's examine. I mean, so Trump trial starts, and that's kind of baked in every day. It's a joke. It's a scam. Will he get convicted? I guess there's, you know, the big X factor question. And what will the political impact of it be? How long can we ride this train in which his persecution prosecutions actually help him? Will that pendulum start to swing back, or are we going to ride this all the way to November, no matter what happens, and say, look, we're not going to let you, you know, in through the use of lawfare, legal warfare, persecutions of this type, torments of this type. We're not going to let you pick a president for us. We're not. And alas, $95 billion a year tax money. I know there's such a thing as foreign aid. And I also know that against the backdrop of all the federal spending, it's like 1%. And somebody was saying, you know, we have a lot more of a spending crisis with like Social Security. I know that. Social Security, we're numb to that. We're totally numb to entitlement spending. And also everybody knows that touching entitlement spending, you know, they call it the third rail for a reason, touch it and you die, and that it can be political suicide to actually step up and try to start a debate over entitlement reform. We probably need to do that. But so what's the deal on foreign aid, especially Ukraine foreign aid? This is something we might actually be able to do something about. And this is a matter of enormous principle. We have people who are more interested in the Ukrainian border than they are in our own border. Doesn't Mike Johnson know, and don't all these Ukraine funding simps in Congress know? Don't they all know that if you actually make Democrats give us hundreds of miles of border wall, and how do you do that? By attaching it directly to Ukraine funding, because the Democrats have found a war they can like, that everybody would feel a little better. I'd feel better. I'm the guy who said you got calendar year 2023. You got the entire year to show some remote shred of evidence that we're going to kick Russia out of Ukraine. There is no evidence that that's doable. None. It is time to negotiate an end to this war. which, of course, makes you a Hitler sympathizer. Not Hitler sympathizer. Makes you a Putin sympathizer and a Hitler, an advocate of a Hitler starter kit in Putin. Because these folks just magically, through their amazing Kreskin crystal balls, they just know that if we have some negotiated settlement, which is going to be a bummer, because it's basically going to give Ukraine about the eastern 25%, give Russia 25% of the eastern end of Ukraine. Well, bummer. Don't like that. But you know what else I don't like? Decades of quagmire. And eventually our sons and daughters sent to die in Ukraine, because that is what Lindsey Graham is going to do. That is what Democrat Richard Blumenthal is going to do. That is what Michael McCaul, Texas Republican congressman, is going to do. That is what people in that entire Nikki Haley mindset, that Ukraine is a vital American national interest. If it is, we can spill American blood there. And I will not have that for one microsecond. Your thoughts, please, as we take a look at how that worked out over the weekend. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 722. Yeah, buddy. My boy shares a birthday with Peter Frampton, freshly inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Frampton, not Ethan. Although he plays a pretty good guitar himself. Frampton is 74 today, so happy birthday there. 866-660-5759. We are in Fort Worth. Brian, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Hey. Speaking about Ukraine, I posted that the other day, and nobody's answered my question. The Soviet Union fell about a little over 30 years ago. I believe it was 1991. And Ukraine was free to become the most corrupt government in Europe. And what have they done in those 30-some years to prepare for their defense? Nothing.
Well, not nothing, but they, you know, it's a European problem, and Europe, all of Europe's nations have a gross domestic product that's nine times greater than lumbering Russia. So this is their problem. Can we be a part of the solution? I'm okay being a part of it, but we are the ATM for Ukraine, and that's getting really old really fast.
Well, we're the ATM for Europe too. We've been stupid enough to pay for their defense. Yeah. Since World War II, we should at least made them reimburse us for the cost of keeping troops in Europe to defend them.
I'm post World War II, and even, you know, I mean, like in Korea, perhaps even in perpetuity. I'm good with I like American military presences in sensitive and important parts of the world. I'm okay shouldering whatever it costs to have some degree of American presence there as a deterrent to tyranny, you know, a reminder that our eyes are all over the globe, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't want all of our money to be all over the globe, and I don't want our blood to be spilled all over the globe. And what we've got now is people with the view like you're expressing, and with the hesitancy that I'm expressing, they're just getting insulted and berated by these Ukraine funding acolytes who can't even believe that anybody would dare to disagree with them. Brian, thanks. And let me ask my buddy Mike about this. Let me ask him about a number of things coming off I know what I got to ask him about. First of all, how many of y'all thought, hey, here comes Mike's story of having gone to the Trump rally in Wilmington, North Carolina? How great was that? Didn't happen. Oh, the trip happened. The rally didn't. Yikes. Details with Mike next. Details in the newsroom with Nikki Whaley now.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising.
My boy shares a birthday with the great Glenn Campbell, who would have been 88 today, passed away back in 2017. By the time I get to Phoenix. By the time Mike got to Wilmington, North Carolina, it was pretty clear that the weather was not going to cooperate. This played out in real time. You were kind enough to give me text updates. I'm so sorry. Trump gets out. How often does he get out of the stupid courtroom? So when he goes somewhere, we better have good weather. He better make maximum advantage. And so you're out there in the beautiful coastal community of Wilmington, North Carolina. You sent me one picture. It looked like a tornado was about to eat the place. You just barely got out of there.
But it was an incredible experience. I spent the whole day there, of course, and I got to interview a whole bunch of people. So don't worry. I'm going to have a lot of content on the show today, because it was still an extraordinary opportunity to hang out with thousands of like-minded people who know that this guy is the answer to much of what ails this country. First of all, let me talk about how it was canceled. It was pretty neat, to tell you the truth. I mean, it was hot during much of the day and sunny and no cover. There's no shelter. It's all outside at the fixed base operation of the airport. And you know how these events go. He pulls in the plane. He does a flyover on the 757 and everybody cheers. I mean, this guy knows how to put on a show. And even when there's a cancellation, here's how they did it. The music is playing. Yeah. We're standing there. And here's what's heartbreaking. Thanks to some friends like Seb Gorka and Phil Boyce, I was like two rows from the stage. I was right there. Trump would have seen me when he walked out.
Mike,
I mean,
my buddy Mike is here.
Mike, there's Mike. It would have been so much fun. But we see how dark it's starting to get and ominous. And the pilot that that took us there, Will Smith of Will Smith Aviation here in Tampa, he looked out and he said, "This isn't good." He said, "See where those look?" And he was explaining those kinds of cirrus clouds or whatever it was. Anyway, the music goes down, and you can hear Trump say, "Am I live? Am I live?" And then you hear another voice, a disembodied voice, say, "Yes, Mr. President, you're live. You can speak now." He said, "Hello, everybody. This is your favorite president, I hope. I'm calling from the plane. We're almost there." And he said, "I am so sorry to report to you that because of the terrible weather, we're unable to land. Your safety is the most important thing. Don't worry, my friends. We're going to do it again, bigger and better than ever. But I am so, so disappointed, and I'm so sorry." Well, it was so kind of just neat to have him make that announcement. And then here's the crazy thing. How many concerts or events have you been to where something goes wrong and it gets canceled and everybody starts booing?
They're bitter. You know, how dare they? I took my time to get here. And everybody just gets their back up and it just becomes pretty tense.
Well, let me tell you what this crowd did. There was a little aww, and then they all just left the venue and smiling and laughing. It was so orderly and polite. And I'm thinking, and you know, I saw a Never Trumper on TV a couple weeks ago, somebody I know, who was just talking with utter disdain of Trump supporters.
Yeah.
"These people," he kept referring to them as.
Yeah.
"These people." And you saw Katie Couric a week or two ago, the anti-intellectuals.
Yep.
And I thought, I'm in a crowd full of wonderful people, young people, men, women, grandparents, cops, teachers. I interviewed a bunch of them.
What do they have in common? They love America. They back our military. They think we should have borders. They think people should be punished for crime. They love the founding fathers. They love the Constitution. They admire our history. They salute our flag. They stand for the national anthem. That's what this horrible group of terrible people has in common.
Well, let me tell you what they also have in common. They're kind. They're friendly. They're patriotic, as you said. They're optimistic. It's a great feeling to be with these people. I mean, it's why we've got nearly 400 people who are going with Seb Gorka and me to this Patriots Alaska cruise over the 4th of July. You know what it's going to be like to be on a cruise ship with hundreds of people who feel the way we do? And
we're
going to go sightseeing. And this is about the last week or two for cabins that are left. And there are some left. So you go to PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com. There's a big contingent from Dallas-Fort Worth coming with us on the cruise. But anyway, it's just a lot of fun to hang out with them. I saw Scott Pressler, you know, activist.
Influencer guy. I mean, he's got a zillion followers.
He's a machine. Because what he does, he's got kind of a naivete about him. He's really an interesting fellow because he's like, "Gosh darn it, we got to gosh darn get people signed up. And by golly, hey, mom, dad, look at your little boy. I'm traveling the country." And a lot of people suggested he should play some role with the RNC because he's all about registering voters and just securing conservative support. He's just a machine. So I saw him outside the venue, interviewed him. I'm going to share that conversation. We just had a remarkable time, and it was while disappointing, and then we had to escape out of there because the pilot said, "Let's get wheels up
in a small plane."
Bob bounced around like a ping pong ball. I mean, those little planes. I mean, it was a cute little plane. It's a great aircraft. It's a Citation Mustang. So people who know planes, it's a real small jet, four seat jet.
You know,
and man, you go through clouds and storms.
If a storm is about to eat the place where I am, and I'm about to get on a plane, I don't want the adjective attached to that plane to be that it's cute.
I know.
It's massive, powerful, and fast. And listen, small jets go, it's great. It's fine.
What was funny was to watch it, you know, because I'm in the back and I can see the cockpit, and the pilot has this giant radar, right? It's like this huge screen.
And this huge and green cloud.
Bright red, orange. And I can see him. He's zigzagging all the way from Wilmington, Delaware, to Oconee, South Carolina, where we had to land. Because I had to get there quick Friday. We had a big meeting in South Carolina, a very productive meeting, by the way. I think people in South Carolina are about to be very, very pleased. I'm going to have some, I think, great news to share about my beloved Palmetto State. So that was Friday, and then Saturday was Wilmington, and we went back to Oconee, and then back to Tampa on Sunday. So anyway, great weekend. We're going to have great stuff to share on the show today. Let me also just talk about evil versus good. We're seeing it right now. The college campuses, Columbia, Yale. Mark, I mean, you got professors saying Hamas was right.
Yep.
You've got rabbis. A rabbi at Columbia told the Jewish students, off campus and stay home.
The warnings are going out to people, especially in the Orthodox community, people who quote unquote look Jewish. Your yarmulke is not your friend on the campus of some of these elite universities. Oh my! Where does this come? Was this always there? Was it just latent, and now it just rises up because of the current? Or is this recently hatched in the American psyche? What do you think is going on?
See, that's what I can't wrap my brain around. Were these anti-Semites always around and we just didn't know it? Have they become anti-Semitic because of their perception that the Palestinian people are suffering? I don't get it. But, you know, so much for the canard, so much for the bald-faced lie. Well, we're not pro-Hamas. We're just pro-Palestinian. Yeah. Oh, no. They're pro-Hamas.
Yes, they
are. And, I mean, screaming, you make us proud, kill another soldier now. Al-Qassam brigades, you make us proud. I mean, this is going to fall on the presidents of these elite universities. What are they doing about it? Well, this morning at Yale, as I'm sure you've heard, finally they've called in the cops. They called in the NYPD yesterday at Columbia. They're starting to clear them out. Ilhan Omar's daughter was one of the people arrested. She now claims to be homeless and starving after she was arrested, spent the night in the Huskow. And we're witnessing sheer, raw, unabashed evil. And speaking of the evil, tell me you saw Congressman Benny Thompson, the top Democrat on the House Homeland Security Committee. He wants to make sure that Donald Trump loses his Secret Service protection if he gets convicted.
It's kind of funny. He didn't actually come out and say that. He said, I've kind of got an idea, Mr. Thompson said. I have an idea that if somebody is a convicted felon, they lose Secret Service protection. Now,
The bill is called the Denying Infinite Security and Government Resources Allocated Towards Convicted and Extremely Dishonorable Former Protectees Act. It stands for disgrace.
I was going to say, I smell an acronym there somewhere.
Under the law, former presidents like Trump are given Secret Service protection. I mean, this has been one of the real interesting dilemmas. If he gets convicted, and I believe he will, what happens if they send him to jail?
I know.
I mean, what? If he's stripped of Secret Service protection, he may very well get shanked. Mark, I'm not kidding you. They want him killed.
Yep.
That's what they want. Benny Thompson, and I will say it, and I don't give a crap how much flack I get. These filthy, disgusting, evil people want the man murdered. They want him dead. It's the only, they're getting more and more desperate. We're now a little over 6 months from the election, Mark. And you can see the desperation intensify. I saw some articles getting ready for the show today. One that says his flatulence is out of control. They're accusing him of having flatulence in the courtroom. Honest to gosh, that was a real article. Another article that says he actually hates police. He despises law enforcement. That was in the Daily Beast. That was that Ron Filipowski guy that's just always on social media ranting and raving about Trump. I mean, they're really getting terrified because they're looking at the polling. I mean, he's surging in all the battleground states. He's tied in Wisconsin. That shouldn't be true. And frankly, Mark, you and I've talked about it. I think the polling is underrepresenting Trump support.
It usually does, because Trump supporters tend to not want to involve themselves in polls. They tend to not answer the phone. They tend to not agree to take part in such surveys. So does that mean that, generally speaking, there's a 3 or 4%, just to make up a number, of Trump support that's underrepresented because our folks don't like polls?
Well, let's bake into the cake over the weekend. A bunch of Democrats waving Ukrainian flags, screaming and chanting for Ukraine.
Wasn't just Democrats. It was not just Democrats.
Well, because everything I've seen, it was Democrats. Mm-hmm. Were there Republicans waving the flags?
I'm not sure. Well, they might as well have been, in view of the $61 billion of our dollars that they funneled to Zelensky.
So let's face it. Let's just face some hard realities here. Mike Johnson and the establishment, traditional Republicans, beat back Marjorie Taylor Greene and all the rebels and all the sharp-elbowed Republicans. That's the way it was characterized. In fact, even the New York Post, Moscow Marge,
That is the oldest trope in the world. Well, old against the backdrop of this relatively brief story, is that if you are skeptical of Ukraine aid, looking to have a negotiated settlement so that we can end this war, so that we don't get to American blood, our sons and daughters dying in Ukraine, that means that you are a Putin fanboy. It means that you are that you are Neville Chamberlain instead of Winston Churchill. Spare me.
It's a lie. It's what they said about Tucker. Now, Tucker's in some hot water these days.
Yes, he is. Boy, and he deserves 100% of it.
Well, you've never liked him.
I dared to point out the occasions, and there have been a few, where he's absolutely in orbit around Neptune. And the most recent one is to hate on America for the decision to drop bombs that ended World War II. He called that evil. He's an idiot on that issue. So brilliant on so many others. So many other. And this is removed from the guardrails of Fox News. Tucker now occupies this weird professional contrarian in chief thing. Yeah, what happened to Building 7? Did we really land on the moon? I'm just asking questions.
I know.
Your boy has a problem.
Well, I don't know what he's doing exactly. I mean, when he talked to Joe Rogan about Building 7, I thought, what? Come on, guys. This is what you're doing now. Speaking of conspiracies, how about the guy that lit himself on fire outside the Trump trial the other day? And now, did you see the video of the way they transported him out of there?
No, what?
Mark, there's a video. I mean, I don't want to be graphic here in the morning, and I know people are eating breakfast. Mm. I mean, this poor mentally deranged guy, and he was apparently a Bernie Sanders supporter. Here we go again with the Bernie Sanders supporters. Lights himself on fire. Everybody's standing there looking at him. Of course, what do? They grab their cameras and show it. When they lifted him onto the stretcher, they drop him like a sack of potatoes. Now, if you've just let yourself on fire and your body is singed, and of course he did die eventually, because what a way to go.
That's terrible.
But, Mark, they dropped him on the stretcher like hard, like they were mad at him.
Ooh.
And I thought, and so then everybody's looking at that video, and on social media it's like a big conspiracy theory that's all fake and this is a false flag. And I mean, man, I wonder if Alex Jones has weighed in on this one yet.
I can't imagine.
I mean, but it was just awful and sickening, and just shows the depths of mental illness and how far people can go.
It is indeed. And since been taking a pivot in another type of mental illness, Trump derangement syndrome, last 30 seconds, the Trump trial starts today. Here we go. Listen, maybe I need to say this every day. Mike, you are with me 100% on this, aren't you? That it's 1,000% outrage that this is not on television. It's the public's business trait taking place in there. We should be able to see the nuts and bolts of the persecution of Trump in this joke of a courtroom. And I shouldn't have to rely on reporters and courtroom artists.
But if they put it on TV, the world would see how bad unfair it is.
I know that.
That's the thing. They don't want it on TV. They don't want people to see this. What should be their choice?
There should be a camera in every flipping courtroom, everywhere at every level. It's the public business being done.
But especially this one, where he's the Republican nominee for president, and right now most Americans favor him.
Yep.
You don't think we have a right to see? But they are going to be unfair. They already are. I mean, the judge, have you seen how many millions of dollars the daughter has raised?
The daughter of the judge? I know.
Mark. This is obscene. It's and denying him Secret Service protection.
I know.
One of these kangaroo courts gives him a conviction, God help him. I mean it. I pray for his safety and security all the time, and continually. We have to, without ceasing.
Indeed. All right. Well, we're ready for you, man. We are ready for the week to come.
Monday.
Here we go. Indeed. The Monday Mike Gallagher Show. Soon as we're done, 10 o'clock. Be there for him. Right here on 660 AM. The Answer. Written by Lieber and Stoller, the first person to chart with Hound Dog 4 years, I guess 3 years before Elvis, was Big Mama Thornton, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame over the weekend. Want to know who else is in there? And it's funny. I love all these people. This is great. What is rock and roll? What does it mean? Was rock and roll too white? When was the first time they said, we need to get... I mean, there are black rock acts, right? There's Chuck Berry, Living Color, remember Cult of Personality? Gary Clark Jr. So rock and roll, mind you, Hall of Fame inductees for this year. Mary J. Blige. Cool and the Gang. I know when I think rock and roll, I think Cool and the Gang. Tribe Called Quest, great hip-hop act, but rock and roll, what?
Listen to more Hound Dog.
Peter Frampton, now we're talking. Foreigner, about time. Cher. I'll just leave that there. Dave Matthews Band, absolutely, big props. And...
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.